continue on with our series on prayer. We know that a couple of weeks ago, we had actually talked about the direction that we had decided that we really felt that God was taking us on at the beginning of the year. And what we did was we said that we believe that God wanted this to be a house of prayer, a house of mercy, and a house of healing. And as we said over the last couple of weeks, the house of healing, we've, without sounding braggadocious or anything, we pretty much got that down. We most of our people here understand healing, and we see healing, and it's a common thing, so we would say that we are a house of healing. People know that they can come here and be healed. Then we know that we are always and will always be learning how to better be a house of mercy, extending mercy to the people, which actually has to do also with healing. But we also said that the one thing that Jesus said his house would be a house of prayer. And so as a house of prayer, now of course that doesn't mean these four walls here, but it means literally the body of Christ, the church itself. And so this week we're going to continue on with this, but this week we're going to cover predominantly different types of prayer. So we're not going to get into a lot of depth on this, but we plan for this to continue on for at least a few more weeks. And the whole purpose is not to give you information about prayer. The purpose is to actually getting you to pray accurately, effectively, fervently, as the Bible says, and getting you to pray, I don't say more than you are, because I don't know how much you are praying, but the Bible says to pray without ceasing, so I'm pretty well assured that we can all stand for more prayer. So we're going to look at a couple of things, and first off, we're going to backtrack real quick, and then we're going to move forward, because we have quite a few actually to go over, but only a short time to actually go through them. So first off, last week we had talked about this, last couple of weeks, and we mentioned or asked the question, what is prayer? And we said that prayer is simply conversing with God. Now, a lot of people have ideas of prayers. There are churches that teach certain types of prayers and certain ways of praying. Nothing wrong with that as long as it does not become vain repetition, as long as it is out of the heart and actually does come from the motivation of love towards God and towards people. So the main thing that we wanted to get established is that prayer is not hard, that it's not something that you have to get ready for necessarily. And I say that, and it's going to sound like I'm contradicting myself at one point, because prayer is conversing with God. It's just talking with God. It's walking with Him and carrying on a conversation just like you would a friend. But we also know that there are times whenever there are certain things you need from God, and you need to be able to bring them, as we would say, from the spiritual realm into the physical realm, and there are certain processes that help that take place. And so whenever you're going to apply from or to approach prayer from that position, then yeah, there is some preparation that should be done, and we will explain that. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now notice this, praying always with all prayer. One translation says, with all kinds of prayer, with all types of prayer. We know that there are several different types of prayer. We're going to look at approximately seven of them today. And as I said, 7 points or more in 45 minutes means we're going to have to move through them fairly quick. Now, the beauty of it is we're going to go through them. You're going to hear them. You're going to give some, I'll give you some basic information on them. But then we plan on eventually taking these piece by piece, prayer by prayer type, and walking through them. Now, what we want to have happen is that over the next few weeks, as we learn about these different types of prayer in detail, that each one of these prayers, as we teach about it, then about the last 5 to 10 minutes of each class, we will actually start practicing that type of prayer. So, all right, so now let's look at this in Ephesians 6:18. Again, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So that gives us actually several points here that we can look at in prayer. And part of that is, number one, we should be praying always. And as we pray always, it's because we have all kinds of prayer that we can be praying. And then it says, and supplication in the Spirit. Now notice, prayer and supplication. Prayer is conversing with God. Supplication is actually receiving from God, or as we would say, asking God for something. Then it says, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, and that perseverance means to keep on, not fainting, not stopping, but to continue to pray, and supplication for all saints. Now notice what it, one of the main things it tells you to pray for, all saints. Eventually we will also be looking at different points to aim your prayer, right? We're to be praying for all authorities, all legal authorities, governmental authorities, even spiritual authorities. And so we're going to be looking at each one of these. So when a person says, you know, I pray about 15 minutes and then I just don't have anything else to pray for. Well, we're going to give you plenty. And so you will always have plenty to pray for. We're going to go through it. And if you pray, as we're going to be showing you how to pray over the next few weeks, then you will know how to pray effectively and you will have plenty to pray for. So, next, and there in Ephesians 6:18, where it says, with all prayer, it's the number 3956 in Strong's Concordance, and you can write that down and look it up at some point. And it means all manner of or all means of prayer, or as we would say, all types of prayer. So this week, we're going to be looking at the different types of prayer. So we're going to look at different various ways for people to pray, but we're also going to look at how not to pray. Right, so we're going to cover this whole area. By the time we finish, you will have not just information, but also practice in how to, I don't want to say perform necessarily, but hopefully you know what I mean by that, that we will be able to do these different types of prayer and know that you're getting results and know that the answer is given. It does no good to pray like a shotgun blast where you just shoot out there and hope to hit something. The whole idea is that you pray effectively and in a way that brings the result that you're praying for. One of the scriptures recently that I was looking at, it said that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire when it comes is a tree of life. And so we want to make sure that when we are, if you're praying for something, you have hope for that thing. And we want to make sure that that hope is not deferred, meaning that the prayer is not answered. The one main reason why most people don't pray is because their prayers haven't been answered. And so they end up, whenever something doesn't happen, the longer it doesn't happen, the more you start to back off of it. So, first off, we're going to look at the different types. And the first one we're going to look at is what is generally called the prayer of committal. And we may talk about different names. Some of them have two and three different ways that they're referred to. But the first one is the prayer of committal. And that's the type, first off, it's a type of prayer that you may have prayed to get saved. You're committing your life to God, and you're committing to a course of action. Now, for instance, I give you some examples. Some people have said it this way, Jesus, I give you my life. That's a prayer of committal. Sometimes it's known as the sinner's prayer. There's a whole prayer that has come down now that is an actual formula, for the lack of a better term, for a person to be born again. Now, number B, or point B, is that it could be, like I said, a prayer of committing to a course of action, right? Meaning a certain thing. In other words, maybe after you've determined the will of God about something, then you want to pray to commit to do something. Maybe you're answering a missionary call. Maybe you're answering a call to ministry. Maybe you're, you know, something along these lines. And so you commit to that thing. And what you're doing is you're telling God that you want to, that you know His will, or that you believe you know His will in this area, and you want to move in that direction. So you are committing to it. Now, people say, well, I did that when I got born again. Do I have to do it every time I start to go into a certain area? Okay, it's never a matter of have to. And I don't even want to say it's a matter of get to. I mean, there is that aspect of it, but we have to realize that it's a way of committing your ways unto God, and then He directs your steps. And that's one of the main things, is that if you don't make a stand, if you don't make a certain position, if you don't take that position and say, I'm going here, then it's real hard for God to turn you in the direction He wants you to go. And so we want to pray that prayer of committal so that you are praying in a way that lets God know you're going this direction, you've submitted to His will, and you believe this is His will, and then you're moving in that direction. So that'd be the first one. Now, as I just said, you know, such one of these can be answering a missionary call. Now, I see every Christian technically, biblically, as a missionary, right? As a minister. Now, that's not to say that there are not professional, and when I say professional, I don't mean the way we usually think professional. I mean a professional missionary, people who have dedicated their lives and are dedicating their lives to a missionary call. Many times it's to a particular people group. Sometimes it's to a nation. There's different aspects of it. And so I was raised up initially, understanding that you had to have a special call. But at the same time, because of people like Keith Green, I realized, as he often said, you don't need a special call to go, you need a special call to stay. Because the Great Commission says go. So the whole idea is that we should be going. Now, that may mean getting on a plane, going overseas. It may mean going across the street to your neighbor. What it means literally is that we live lives as missionaries. We're going to talk about that. Do you know that in the Church of Antioch, apparently, based on all the evidence we have, they were regularly talking about Jesus in their everyday life? I mean, just everywhere they went, everyone they talked to, somehow they brought Jesus into it, which at that time, for a Jewish person to convert and come to Christ was a big deal, because it meant being cut off from family. It meant sometimes even legal ramifications with Rome. So there was a lot to do with it. And Antioch was one of those places where they had so embraced Christ that everywhere they went, they talked about him. And it grew and it grew. And even whenever later on, whenever you see Paul and Barnabas separating, going different directions, each one choosing a new team and going out, the church at Antioch was not affected by that. They continued training and sending out missionaries. They didn't say, oh, well, look, this great apostolic group here has fallen apart, or they've had some type of division, and so, you know, let's rethink this. They didn't. They stayed true to the message. They stayed true to the gospel, and they kept talking about Jesus and sending people out. And that's one of the things that the church has lost to a large degree, is just conversational evangelism, right? And I want you to realize, evangelism, we've turned that word, into automatically pushing for a person to get saved. Evangelism is sharing the good news. Whether you ask a person to get saved or whether you're just sharing the truth about what Jesus has done in your life, that's all evangelism. Because Paul said, some sow the seed, some water, some harvest. So we need to realize that we don't always have to, you know, in business terms, close the sale or close the deal. You know, sometimes you just need to share. You just need to, somebody's going through something. It's not always about winning and making a point or getting, as they would say, a feather in your cap. The idea is you are just sharing the good news about Jesus Christ with people everywhere you go. It's just that simple, all right? It's not always about you converting them. Now, maybe you will. Maybe you won't at that point. Maybe you'll go back to them later. Who knows? But the key is that Christ is so much a part of your life that you are sharing him everywhere you go, right? We'll be talking about that. Now, in Luke chapter 22, verse 41, it says, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast." Now, I guess that would depend on who's throwing the stone there, about how far that would be. "And kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Now, the point here is that he was saying, not my will, but your will. Even though he knew the will of God, he was saying, okay, I'm taking me out of this, and I'm doing what you want me to do, and this would be a prayer of committal, right? So he was praying earnestly. That's the other aspect that you'll always see about answered prayer. And look at number two. Number two is the prayer of faith. Remember, we're just covering the basic types of prayer today, and we'll go deeper later on, but I want you thinking about these things, and you'll start to recognize when you pray what kind of prayer you're praying. And each prayer has certain, as we would call them, rules or laws that they operate by. Now, again, I'm not trying to turn this into some legality or some legalistic type thing. I'm just showing you how they work. I want you to be able to get your prayers answered. That's the bottom line. Now, and it's not just, well, I'm connected to God, so get my prayers be answered. Yeah, but there are, even God himself said, Many of you pray, and yet you don't receive. So just being connected to God doesn't guarantee an answer, right? So we want to show you how to pray, from what motivation to pray, all these things, so you can get your prayers answered. So, now, the prayer of faith, technically, every prayer you pray should be a prayer of faith. Every one of them has to come out of faith at some point. So this wouldn't be just a prayer, but it's an element in prayer, okay? Every prayer you pray should be a prayer of faith. There should be faith involved in every prayer you pray. I know I said that both ways, all right? But if you look at James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Now notice this. "But let him ask in faith." Now he describes faith. Nothing wavering. You get that? Nothing wavering is a description of faith. You need to realize, if you waver, you're not in faith, right? This is big, right? This can be the difference between answered prayer and unanswered prayer. So if you're going to pray, pray in faith, don't waver, right? So you pray with faith, not wavering. The minute you start wavering, you've just stepped out of faith. Now you can step right back into faith, right? But realize the whole idea behind prayer is that you've already got the answer and you're establishing the answer. Again, we'll go at that a little bit later on. He says, "Nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." Now he's describing. So here's how you can know if you're in faith or not in faith. If you're not in faith, you're going to be tossed back and forth. You're going to have different ideas. And now the enemy's going to shoot things in your mind, but they are temptations to doubt. They are not doubt. It is the enemy trying to tempt you to doubt. And that temptation is to say things like, "Well, you prayed, but you didn't pray enough." Or, "Yeah, you left something undone. You didn't do it right. You didn't do it this way." Or, "There was something, you know, you prayed this way and you forgot to include this." I can't tell you the number of people that come to me for prayer for physical healing. And I will say, they'll tell me their problems and I will begin to pray. And many times I don't specifically speak to each problem, but I will say something along the lines of, "In the name of Jesus, be healed head to toe. We command every bit of this to go in Jesus' name." And then I'll say, "So be it." And then we'll back up. And they're like, "Well, you didn't mention, you know, my kidneys, or you didn't mention this thing, or you didn't mention that thing." I'm like, no. I said head to toe. That includes everything. See, God is bigger than just the specific. You don't have to get that specific. The more specific you have to get, the less faith or power you're operating in. Right? And so it is, Jesus, from most of what you can tell by the way he prayed, he never mentioned the specific thing. Many times he would just say, receive your eyesight. You know, receive this, or be healed, or your faith has healed you. He said all those kinds of things. A lot of times he did not get specific. A lot of people today would get upset with Jesus if he prayed for them the way he did in the Bible, right? Even though it's Jesus, they'd still get upset because they come to people that pray and get results and try to tell them how to pray. And if they knew how to pray, they'd be getting results themselves, right? Try not to be cruel here, but, you know, you don't go to a doctor and tell the doctor how to treat you, right? Even though television tells you to suggest medications to your doctor. Now, I don't get that. Anyway, so notice in the next part here, he says, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Why? Because he's wavering. He's not established. He's not founded. And then he says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." So this is the opposite here of faith. So what is faith? Faith would be to be single-minded, right? Faith would be to not waver, not be tossed back and forth, not be wondering, not be doubting, not be thinking, "Well, did I do it all? Did I do enough? Did I pray long enough? Did I pray hard enough?" All those things you have to decide at some point to say, "Okay, we've prayed, we've settled it, we've prayed, we got the answer, it's done." So you have to settle that. This is probably the one point where most people miss out on receiving from God. They just simply do not settle it. They walk away hoping rather than walk away convinced that this is done, that they have received from God the answer. And so we'll talk about that too. The next, number three, is what is what we are calling, and I'm naming it this for a reason here, but we're calling it the prayer of reception. which means what? It means you're praying to receive something. Many times this is called the prayer of asking and receiving. You may have heard it taught that before, which is a great name. It's fine. I'm just calling it the prayer of reception because you are purposely praying to receive something. Okay? Now, we can see this in Mark chapter 11, and we've taught on this many times. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And it says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." And I've heard that even in the original Greek, it says, "Have faith of God." And people have made this say all kinds of things. Bottom line is, you're going to have faith in God. Bottom line. So you can stick with the King James there if you want. It does not hurt. It's still an accurate translation. Verse 23, he says, "For verily," this is why you can have faith, "for verily I say unto you, that whosoever," that be any person, "shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart." Notice not doubt in his mind, but doubt in his heart. Most people doubt in their mind, and they think they're doubting in their heart. Okay? The enemy shoots an idea of something into their head, and they think they've doubted, and then they back off, and they've not doubted. You need to realize that to doubt in your heart is different than doubting in your head. We will talk about that whenever we get specific about this type of prayer. He says, "And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith." Then verse 24, "Therefore, because you can have whatever you will say," you can have whatever you believe and say, right? "Because of that, what things?" Now notice, God is not against you asking for things. He says things here, right? So God's not against you asking for things. "What things soever you desire." Now notice what you desire. "When you pray, believe that you receive them." Now this is part of one of the verses that Kenneth Hagin made famous, basically, and to the point where I've actually said it before, some people even think he wrote it just because they've heard him say it so much and teach on it. But he says, "Believe that you receive them and you shall have them." Now, again, I'm not going into depth on this, but the key here is very simple. When you pray, believe you receive right then. And if you believe you receive right then, you shall have. You got that? This is the essence of the prayer of faith or praying a prayer of faith, but it is how to receive from God. And we went over this not too long ago, and we will go into it deeper at probably the next couple of weeks. But notice, when you pray, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them right then, when you pray, and you shall have them. So then they're just on their way. It's just like making an order over the telephone. You make the order, the transaction's done, it's on its way. You have it, it's yours, but you hadn't seen it yet because you haven't got it yet, right? It's the same basic idea. Then he said in verse 25, "And when you stand praying," notice there's the position of prayer, stand praying. You can stand, you can kneel, you can sit, you can lie down. I mean, we'll go through all the different even ways that people pray to show you that no one way is better than another, okay? He says, "When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Now, they have built an entire industry on this verse about forgiving. And if you haven't forgiven, you won't be forgiven. And they have built an entire industry on that. And that's what most ministries, or many ministries, go after. If there's any problem, they'll go after that first. Where have you not forgiven? Who do you have anything against? And what they've done is they've taken up the same approach that psychology has and a psychiatrist takes whenever he analyzes you and tries to give you therapy. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't live in forgiveness. You absolutely should. As I've often said, there's a better way, and that's just dying. And then when you die, you don't have to forgive near as much. Right? That's just something to think about. So, then number four, we're looking at the prayer of agreement, right? So far, now notice, because even when we started, we talked about the prayer of committal, right? Then we had the prayer of faith. Then we had the prayer of reception. Number four is the prayer of agreement. And as we talk, we're going to see some of these put together. Matter of fact, on the way here today, the Lord pointed out to me, combine these two, add this one. So it's not even in my notes. So number four, we will tie with number five. You'll see these together. Number four is the prayer of agreement. the prayer of agreement. This is one that most people know. Most people, or they understand it, they have the idea of it. And it's out of Matthew 18. And as a matter of fact, because I'm tying these two together, I'm tying together the prayer of agreement and the prayer of binding and loosing, right? Now, in Matthew 18, verse 18 through about verse 20, it is actually talking more at that point about church discipline, right? It's talking about church discipline. That's really the aspect behind binding and loosing, even though it applies to a wider area. But in Matthew 18, it's talking specifically about church discipline. And it's talking, the binding and loosing means whatever, literally, well, we'll get there in just a second, but first off, in Matthew 18:18, he says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, the word bind and loose literally means whatever you permit and whatever you forbid. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbade in heaven. Okay? And so people all the time, I hear it all the time, almost everywhere I go, I haven't heard it here, thank God, right? Which means that y'all have actually been trained a lot. But everywhere I go, I hear people say, "Why did God allow this to happen?" And honestly, now, sometimes, depending on the situation, I have to be, you know, careful how I use words, because you can really cut somebody real quick, especially somebody that's already hurt. Usually they're asking, "Why did God allow my loved one to pass away?" And you don't want to just answer a quick answer and just because it's a, you know, little neat, little snappy little thing. So you have to weigh your words, because your words will have effect on them. And my instant response is very simple. God didn't allow it. You did. Because he said he will permit whatever you permit. And whatever you forbid, he will forbid. So if something happens, it is you permitting it and you didn't forbid it. Right? But now, obviously, if a person is going through grief or hurt or pain or some type, you don't want to just throw that out there and put something on them and cause them to have guilt or condemnation or something like that. So there's weighing your words, right? Now, the idea, though, is notice here that whatever you, and again, this goes back to predominantly in this particular instance in Matthew chapter 18, it has to do with church discipline about dealing with a person who is causing trouble in the church and how to deal with it. Then in verse 19, it says, "Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching or concerning anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Now, what is this? Why did you tie these two together? Because we call one the prayer of binding and loosing, and then the prayer of agreement. Well, notice that you can bind and loose, or you can agree with someone to bind and loose. The prayer of agreement is simply binding and loosing. It's two people joining together to bind or loose something. Right? That's really all it is. Now, the idea here is, notice this. If two of you shall agree on earth as concerning anything that they shall ask, the ask means to bind or to loose, okay? It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, again, at a later time, we will be looking at more in depth on this. But I want you to realize, too, that the word ask there has a wide range of usage. It can go all the way from literally from begging, okay, which is never in a Christian's vocabulary or in their demeanor, right? We don't beg. Why? Because we are born of God. We don't have to beg. We're not orphans. We're born of God, so we don't beg. Now, it goes from that range, should be this way for you, from this range all the way to the other range, which means to demand. Now think of that, demand. And that's the way it's used, well, many times it is used with that idea of demanding that something. So really anywhere two are gathered together and they demand. Now you're not shaking your fist at God and saying you're going to do this. That's not the kind of demand. It is enforcing a law, so to speak. Just like a policeman. A policeman can walk up to you and say, "Step out of the car, please." Well, that doesn't sound like a demand, but how many of you know it's actually a demand, right? You're going to do it, right? He was saying please just so he sounds polite, right? It was really a command. It was an order. And it's the same thing with us, that whenever we either bind or loose, as we said, we either permit or we forbid. It's not that we are demanding that God do this. We are demanding that the situation be as we speak. So what are we doing? We are demanding this thing be bound or loosed. We're not demanding God do it. He's already said, whatever you say, I'll back you up. Right? So you are actually talking to the situation and agreeing together, this is the way it will be. All right? Real simple. Now, the next one. As I said, we've already talked about the prayer of binding and loosing. Prayer of agreement, prayer of binding and loosing, those two we will put together. So number four and five are actually number four, right? We're going to combine them. You'll see why in just a minute. In verse, or number six. Number six. Now, the last two, before we go to number six, the last two that we talked about had more to do with speaking than praying. You have to remember there's times when you're speaking and there's times when you're praying. Praying is conversing with God. But since we are to pray without ceasing, then everything we do say should be acceptable as a prayer to God. Imagine that. Imagine if everything you said was written down and then presented to God as a prayer. Most people would change their daily talk.
You
are expecting an answer, but the whole idea behind the all of these is that you receive them from the beginning. In other words, you, as we said, you settle it from the beginning. So if you go to pray, when you leave there, it's done. Now, let me throw this in here because I want you to get this. This is one of the things that I've noticed, and if I, you know, I don't generally claim a lot of revelation, that kind of thing. If I was going to claim a revelation on this, this would be where it would be in the area of prayer. I have learned to pray in a way that whenever someone comes to me, I can speak the prayer to them, as we would say, God hears it, but I'd be speaking so that later on, if I have to pray again, I'm not going to undo the first prayer. I'm actually reinforcing it. Right, so that's a big deal in how to get results in prayer, is that if you say, okay, this is done, so in Jesus' name it's done, we thank you, we receive it in the name of Jesus, and then you walk off, and the people come to you later and say, a lot of it's gone, but I still need prayer. Okay, you're going to come back and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, this is the way not to do it, okay? This is the way not to do it. You don't come back, Father, in the name of Jesus, would you please heal this person? Right now, in the name of Jesus, we expect this person to be healed. Okay, what are you doing? You just basically told God that your other prayer, that you consider it is no good. Why? Because you're asking God to do it again. Instead, I've learned whenever I pray the second, third, fourth time, whatever, however many times I need to, I've learned to go back and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed now. Right now. I don't say we receive it. Why? Because we've already received it. What am I doing now? I'm reinforcing the first prayer. I'm not praying again. I'm not praying against the first prayer. I'm reinforcing the first prayer. Right? I'm still believing that it was answered the first time. Now, as far as answered means God has granted the answer. Right? That does not mean the thing is gone. You got that? Having your prayer answered means that God has granted it. That does not mean that the person having the problem, that problem has removed itself from them, because you have an enemy sometimes that you have to evict. And many times, if you're not used to doing this, it usually takes you longer. Why? Because the enemy doesn't believe you. He thinks if he hangs out here a little bit longer, most Christians quit. They'll give up. They'll find some reason. They'll start digging. See, the minute you start digging, let's say we consider this thing done. Let's say a person comes to me the first time, and I pray for them. And we say, this is done. You're healed in the name of Jesus. By his stripes, you were healed 2,000 years ago. Now we enforce that healing. So be healed now in Jesus' name. Then let's say we step back. Or 2 days later, they come back and they go, you know, this is good. This is good. But this problem is still going on. And the thing is not gone yet. Okay. If I say, I wonder where we missed it. I wonder, is there any sin in your life? Is there something, maybe we need to check, maybe there's something in your background, maybe in your family's. See, the minute you do that, you just said, it's not done. You just denied your prayer. You just completely denied the work of Christ in them, and you're saying now that it wasn't done. So what you're saying now is you didn't really believe you had received when you prayed. So really what you're going to see is that all of these prayers are intertwined, the different types of prayer. The only reason we're bringing them out specifically is so that you can look at how each one works. But when you start ministering, it's life. It's all mixed in together, and you have to be able to sort these things out and to know how to speak, when to speak, that you consider it done. We're going to wrap all this thing up because we're going to train you how to pray. We're going to take you through each one of these prayers. We're going to give you examples. We're going to give you, it'll be a type of role playing. We're going to give you a card, and we're going to line you up, and we're going to give you a card, and you're going to say, okay, this is, what can we do for you? Well, here's the problem. And then we're going to teach each one of you how to pray for that person. So you will know what, and it's going to go everything from physical problems, mental problems, emotional problems, relationship problems, financial problems, you name it. It's going to cover everything that you will ever pray for. Right? So you will be trained, and it's not going to go down the line and everything's going to be the same. You're going to have to pray this way for this prayer and this way for this person and go to this type of prayer for this person, and you're going to know which way to do it. We're going to make you effective prayer warriors, as they say, by the time we're done. Amen? Because this is the key. Jesus said his house will be known as a house of prayer for all nations. And so, again, that's one of the things we're going to be praying for, is for all nations. Amen? Now, let's move on to the next one. So let me go ahead and read the next one, actually. Number 6 is the prayer of intercession. This would be number 5, sorry. The prayer of intercession. Now, and we will look at this in depth, as I said, as we will do each one of them. And when we do, we're going to look at John 17, because that was Jesus' prayer of intercession for us. But today, we're just going to look at one point here, and that's going to be from Ezekiel 22, verse 29. And there it says, the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And look at verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. What was he looking for? An intercessor. Now, notice this, and again, we're not going to go in too far in this, but look at this verse in verse 29, verse 30. He says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. Now, if you remember, both in Proverbs and in Job, it talks about the hedge. And it says, when the hedge is broken down, then the serpent can bite. And so many people have taken that even to an extreme, as they do pretty much everything. But the reason I'm saying this is because the hedge, when we talk about, people say, well, God is, we'll pray. I've heard it prayed. And when I say we, I mean I've heard it done. I don't mean we do it, okay? But I've heard people praying in churches, and they'll say, Lord, we pray a hedge of protection around this person, okay? Other than the fact that God answers based on more on intention sometimes than wording, that's a useless prayer, okay? And the reason I say that is this. The hedge of protection is a person. He says right here, verse 30. Where am I at? There we go, verse 30. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. The man makes up the hedge. The hedge is the intercessory prayer for a person. Now, you say, isn't that what they were doing? Yes, but that's like telling the devil, I rebuke you. When you say, I rebuke you to a devil, he doesn't listen. Why? Because saying, I rebuke you is not rebuking him. All right? To rebuke, Jesus rebuked the devil all through the Bible, you can see every time, and he never said, I rebuke you, right? He always said, go, leave, so he rebuked by telling the thing what to do. So it's the same thing when you say, I make up a hedge, saying you make up a hedge isn't making up a hedge. You be the hedge. The hedge is you pray for them in the name of Jesus. Lord, protect. You say, well, isn't that what you're saying with this hedge of protection? No, you're saying, God, put a hedge of protection around them, and then I'm backing off. We're talking about an intercessory type prayer here where a person takes this person on their behalf or takes them on as a prayer project. In other words, this person's going through a lot. They've had this thing. It keeps happening, or they go through this thing, and this person says, look, I'm going to start praying for you. God has put you on my heart. I've seen you. I've drawn you to my heart myself, and so now I'm going to make you a project of prayer. I'm going to pray God's protection on you. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to forbid things to happen. I'm going to permit the blessings of God to come. And you start praying for them. Now we're talking about an ongoing, in-depth prayer assignment, right? And that's who we need to be. Right? Imagine if we all stood up, made a circle, and started at one place and said, okay, this person is going to pray for the person to their left, you know, just in depth this week and until this situation is over. And they keep on, and then that person, number two, says they're going to pray for number three. And number three prays for number four. And imagine you would have an entire chain, as they would say, of prayer that people are definitely being prayed for specifically, and you're paying it forward, so to speak. Right? So that's a project we will be working on once everybody is trained in how to pray. So that way we not only become a house of prayer, but we're a house praying for the house, right? And praying for those that visit here, those that come here, prayer requests that come in, you'll be getting some of those prayer requests. Right now we send them two prayer warriors that we have trained, and we have prayer warriors here, but we will be giving some of those to you, and you will begin taking on responsibility to make sure that those people are prayed for. Right? Whether they live or die will be in your hands and in your prayers. Amen. Yeah, I just got real serious. Okay. Welcome to my world. Okay. So I'm just going to share the love. That's all I'm going to do. All right. So now quickly here. Let's see. Yep. Look at number, would be number six. Number six is the prayer of thanksgiving. The prayer of thanksgiving. You say, is that actually a prayer? Oh, well, you're conversing with God. So it's a prayer. You're talking to God, right? Now, the example we have here is in John 11, and this is when Jesus was at Lazarus's grave. Verse 41, John 11, 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. Hear that? I knew, not I know. I knew. In other words, before I even got into this, I knew you always hear me, so I knew whatever I said, that's what I'm going to get. He came into it with it already settled. Do you see that? Now, and we're going to talk about how to do that. Then he said, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. So the only reason he prayed out loud was so people could hear that he was connected with God and that he gave the glory to God for raising Lazarus. So again, we'll be talking about this. But a prayer of thanksgiving, in my experience, this is with, obviously, with faith and with the different thing, right motivation, that kind of thing. This is the most powerful prayer that I have found by far. I pray the answer, Father. And many times I will mix that with where I'm worshiping. And so it's a prayer of worship even, or a prayer of praise, you could say. But I would begin by saying, Father, I thank you that this person's healed. Because you said this, and because I thank you, Father, that you're a God of your word. You keep your word. You're a holy God. You're a faithful God. What is that? I'm not just thanking him, but now I'm worshiping and praising. And as you begin to do that, and you start saying, Father, I thank you that you protect me. I thank you that I'm always protected because you're always faithful. I thank you, and I just start thanking him for who he is and how that applies to me and the experiences I've had with him. And so I thank him, Father, I thank you that you guide me, that you guide my steps, that your spirit leads me. And so I'm thanking him ahead of time and beginning to bring in worship and praise into that thanksgiving. Amen. And like I said, in my experience, this has been the strongest way of prayer. And so now, two things very quickly. Number seven, I'll give you number seven. And number seven is praying in the spirit, or as we know it, praying in other tongues. And we've done an entire seminar on that. We have actually a book concerning tongues that goes into that in depth, so we won't cover it right now to any real degree. But praying in tongues, John Lake said that praying in tongues was the making of his ministry. He saw it as the very basis of everything he did. That's how he got all of his sermons. He would pray in tongues and then interpret it, and those would be his sermons. He would write them down. And so praying in other tongues, number seven, is a strong way of prayer, and there's a lot to it. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. Finally, we're going to finish up here. How to get every prayer answered, right? He said, well, I wish you'd have started with that at the beginning. Well, we're here now, okay? Now, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And I want to underline hears us there. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, you get that? If he hears us, if he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. You hear that? So really, all you have to do is make sure God hears you. If he hears you, then you've got the answer. You got that? That's pretty good, right? So if he hears you, now how does he hear you? If you ask according to his will. So it literally gives the idea here that if we don't ask according to his will, he doesn't even hear the prayer. Think about that. Now, but he says here that we know this. This is a confidence. This is how we have faith in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, whatever we're asking, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Notice the word petition. Now, again, we'll talk about this a little bit later on, but this moves the idea of prayer into the area almost of legality, right? Now, I don't want to go too far with this at this point because I don't want you thinking in terms of legalities per se, but you do have to realize that God is just, and because he has an enemy and because of the workings of the way things are, there are legalities in prayer and there are things by way God can do things. Just as we said before, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, right? Well, that's a legality. In other words, God can't initiate. Man has to initiate. So God has to get a man to agree with him and pray before God can literally do something, right? Now, there's details to this, again, that we will look at, and you don't want to take that to the extreme, but you want to see what God can do and what he can't do. Many people, John Wesley was one of them, actually said, it appears as though God can do nothing on the earth unless he gets a man to pray, right? And that's a strong statement. So, number two on this of how to get every prayer answered is James chapter 4, verse 2. He says, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. See, many things we do in our own strength that we would not have to fight for if we just ask, if we just turned it toward God and made it a matter of relationship with God rather than just trying to get it on our own. He says in verse 3, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. Then he says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusteth to envy? Now, we'll go back over this in just a second. But notice that this was written by James really to new believers, so they were unlikely to know the will of God. So he was saying, this is why you're asking. Remember before in 1 John, he said that we ask according to the will of God. Here he says, you ask and you ask amiss. Why? Because you don't know the will of God because they were probably new believers. So the idea, the fundamental thing here is know the will of God. Find the will of God. If you always, because we know, as we said before, all the promises of God are in Christ, yes, and in him, amen. Is that right? So if that's true, then the way to start is with the promises of God because we know those promises are the will of God. And if we start with those promises as the end result, God, this is where we're going, this is what we want, then we know we have it because we know we're asking according to his will. Amen? So, again, this is just a basic getting you ready for it, but before very long, we'll be taking you right into this, and you will actually be praying and seeing results. You're going to be actually praying for people, prayer requests, like I said, that come in, and then we're also going to be giving you the results that happen. Amen? So this is going to be an exciting time. This is not going to be just dead prayer, just walk around, you know, vain repetition. We're even going to explain what vain repetition is and what it's not. And so we're going to be looking at that. And so there's going to be a lot more to it. Prayer should be the most exciting thing you do in Christianity. Because you get, I mean, how many times do you get a chance, if you work for a company, to really meet and talk with and hang out with and fellowship with the president of that corporation? Most people, if it's a corporation of any size, it generally doesn't happen. Now imagine that. The God of heaven and earth has given you an open invitation to fellowship, talk with, hang out with, and even ask whatever you want, get whatever you need, and more than what you need, right? He even said, whatever you desire. He said, he just wants you to hang out with him. So we have this opportunity. And if we would look at any major company and the president of the company said, I'd like to meet with you, man, we would go into it ready to go. We'd be, you know, dressed perfectly for the situation. We would be have anything, if we know we're going to be talking to him, we'd know that we would set things up ahead of time. We would know what we're going to talk about. You'd have an agenda. You want to talk about this? You want to talk about that? You're trying to get this from, and so you would go into it prepared. And so that's how prayer should be. Amen? All right.